Welcome back to the Roundtable live broadcast from Tanglewood. This is what I learned just in that last few moments, that a cellist can leave a building very quickly. That was a mass exodus. Very cool.
Especially when they're on the clock and supposed to be in the shed in about 6 minutes.
Okay, they made it. Tanglewood is a name that's recognized around the world. Just about every time we interview a conductor or musician, they mention the venue's reputation and cachet.
And, of course, that just doesn't happen by accident. It's a hardworking team of professionals that keeps Tanglewood on the lips of both audience members and performers, and it really is the best place in the whole world, period.
Well, we always look forward to get a State of Tanglewood report. We do so with our dear friend Mark Volpe, the managing director of the BSO. Mark, thank you very much. It's always a delight to have you on our program, but more importantly, that you invite us to come, and we're thrilled that we are again here.
We're honored to have you here, and it's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. So how are things going so far? The last time I saw you, you were getting ready to see the first note of James Taylor before you jumped on the Mass Pike and went to Boston to deal with Homeland Security.
If James is listening, I listened to like 7 or 8 tunes before.
There you go. Okay.
And that goes for you too, Kim, by the way. But no, we had a little intimate party on the Esplanade for about 500,000 people, and shared that with about 5 million people across the country on CBS for a two-hour TV show. So, and this was David Mugar, who's basically, frankly, given about $25 million to have this event happen for many, many years, starting with Fiedler and then John, and of course now Keith Lockhart. So I felt in his last year, he's retiring. As of July 5th, I met with him on this, kind of had a little retirement celebration, and so next year will be a different structure. But it was one of those weekends where we had 500,000 people in Boston, 4 million people watching it, and we had, what did we have? We had probably 50, 60,000 people here that weekend with James Taylor and Dylan and of course, the Jerry Garcia tribute without Jerry Garcia. But that would have been a coup, I bet.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Didn't quite pull that off.
Yeah. So, Mark, a lot of people ask me one single question. More than anything else, with all the great music and all the great people at Tanglewood, how come every single blade of grass is perfect on the Tanglewood lawn? Why? How could that possibly be? All of us with clovers and blues and whites and all kinds. How do you do that?
Well, as the senior executive, you learn over time that there are certain things you don't want to know.
Yeah, I get it.
And I am never on the grounds early in the morning. But no, these guys actually, the head groundskeeper is an amazing guy and ran high-end golf courses for 30 years, so they know how to do grass too, as you would imagine. So, and it's fantastic. We have 8-9 guys full time, and they supplement in the summer. I mean, we employ, just looking at the W-2 number, we employ 1,200 people.
Whoa, that's a lot.
And maybe 700-800 out here, and so there are a lot of people maintaining that grass, and I'm told they cut it virtually every day, which is probably something you don't do, Alan, in your yard.
No, we don't. But I have a question for you that follows. Now that you've mentioned grass, on the ballot,
you're going back to the Jerry Garcia question.
Yeah, there may be legalized grass. What will that mean to Tanglewood? You know, right now the smell is good.
Well, we had designated smoking areas. I don't know if you've noticed that or across the campus.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Okay. So if I come in with a cooler, which I've never done, but I see lots of people do it, right?
Right.
They come in with coolers and they have this is less about smoking and more about alcohol, but they have smoke. They come in with their coolers, and they can go anywhere on the lawn and have their wine and beer. Okay. And yet, if you go to buy a beer, you have to be in a caged area.
I would.
By the way, it's a lovely, lovely area that you've provided for people.
If I'm probably going to regret sharing this, but there are certain parts of the Massachusetts law pertaining to alcohol that probably warrant reconsideration and rethinking. Mm-hmm. And I have frankly decided not to get into the advocacy game in that context. So we just abide by the law.
Yeah.
And the law is, as Joe indicates, you can't.
If you buy it from them,
you can't go outside the perimeter.
You can't leave. You can't leave the area from where it was served.
There's specific areas where we have licenses to sell alcohol, and they're restricted, and you can't have the two intermingling. You can't have, you know, we have, as you know, part of the culture of Tanglewood, which Joe described, is, you know, people bringing in coolers, and now in the world we're living in, we have dogs sniffing those coolers and trying to maintain some semblance of culture, what we've had for here for decades, and then being responsive to the new world we're living in. But once you're on the grounds, you know, it's basically, as long as it's legal, and that goes back to your initial premise. If it's legal, and you know, we have the right to restrict it.
Sure.
And the same thing with you know.
You mentioned dog sniffing.
Right.
Obviously, you have to be in contact with the Homeland Security people, right? Can you tell us something what that's like?
Yeah, well, on July 4th, you know, I think, you know, there's certainly a real focus. We've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in security measures here. July 4th, I think there were 10 agencies involved. Kim Nultimy, our chief operating officer, was attending all the meetings. My favorite, I got to tell you this story. This goes back 8-9 years, so the guy's not there. So, you know, we have Navy SEALs, you have Homeland Security, you have FBI, obviously domestic.
Navy SEALs here?
Not in the Mackinac Bowl. Not in the Stockbridge Bowl.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Charles River, yes. But not to disappoint you, Alan. But my favorite moment, you know, Mr. Volpe, you know, something happens. I can have a plane, you know, F-15, F-16, down on the Esplanade in 6 seconds. And I looked at him and said, and then what? I mean, what do you, it was a Dr. Strangelove moment. You're like going, what are you going to do?
Sure. And then, right.
Yeah, and then.
and then what?
What is that? My mother came once to that, and she came to the same thing, at a James Taylor concert or Bob Dylan or film night or whatever, where, you know, you get certain amount of real estate. You know, you can stake it out early. And my mother, who'd been watching July 4th for 30, 40 years, had this fanciful notion that she was just going to be, you know, sauntering down, walking down the banks of the Charles River, as if, you know, 4 miles on both sides of the river aren't already claimed with bodies. And the same thing here, you know, we open the gates, and I always pray that no one trips, because you see this flood of humanity rushing to their favorite
spot. Staking their spot.
On the lawn of Tanglewood.
Now, I noticed something new. At least I think it was new. You'll probably tell me it's been there for 25 years. But in the old days, you know, once people start claiming their real estate, it's tough to negotiate. There's the quintessential question, do you step on somebody else's blanket in order to get through, and will that lead to trouble, you know, of one kind or another? But I noticed that in front of the shed itself, there is a perimeter now that you can walk on, which is kept free.
Yeah. But people need to get across the lawn, you know, and so ultimately, same thing at Ozawa Hall. You know, we had 2,300 people at Chris Bode's concert, and we you have to have. Otherwise, we're trying to avoid what you know. It's bad enough stepping on a blanket. It's worse.
Oh, you step on my blanket.
Well, or you step on a kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah. There's
now
kids,
I'm
kids
step
crawling
on your face.
All over there. Yeah. That's a different thing. So,
yeah,
we have about a minute and a half left. So, tell us how your the season. How you feel about it. It's going well. Everything's good. Anything we should?
Well, we sold 106,000 tickets before we opened the season. I mean, we've sold actually,
and that's good.
Well, yeah, no, we've sold 106,000 people have attended concerts, I should say, preseason. And so we've sold well over 250,000 tickets, and we're going to hit 325 to 350. You tell me what the weather's going to be. It's going to be great, of course.
Could you make money? Do you make money?
No.
Come on now. Come on now. Do you make money?
Do you mean him or the orchestra?
We're not for profit.
Not you. I'm not talking about you this time.
We're not for profit.
I'm talking about, do you make money when you have these big acts, the Dolly Parton, somebody else? They get theirs, you get yours, right?
Yeah, they're all splits. Yeah, we make a little money on that.
When you say a little money? A lot of money?
30 seconds.
$1 million?
No. A few hundred thousand, which gets reinvested. We invest $4 million in education.
Well, of course.
You know, we got this physical plant. So, you know, we are not for profit. Corporation. We take that status very seriously.
So do we.
Mark Volpe is the managing director of the BSO. For more information on the Pops BSO and of course Tanglewood, visit tanglewood.org. Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you in a few weeks. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.